Father, we love you. I ask you, Holy Spirit, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come teach us and open our understanding to understand the scriptures, God, from the book of Revelation, and cause our hearts to burn with desire for Jesus and his kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I'm going to do in the first message titled Our Blessed Hope in this series, I'm actually going to take several months here. I'm going to teach through the whole book of Revelation. I'm going from chapter 1 all the way through the end of the very last chapter. And what I'm going to do in this message, it's really an introduction to the series, this first 30 minutes or so that I'm going to teach. So first of all, I was praying. I love the book of Revelation. You know, God's been blessing me through the book of Revelation for a long time now. And I've enjoyed it so much, and I'm so excited to actually be able to teach it. So I was looking forward to doing this, you know, and I felt the release from the Lord to be able to do it finally. And then I was asking him, I was like, hey, you know, what is the main thing that's on your heart that you really want to get across and impart to people as I'm teaching through the book of Revelation? And I just listened to the Holy Spirit, and right away he spoke to me. The answer came into my spirit right away. He says, Jeff, I want my people to be excited about their future. I want my people to be excited about their future. I love that. It reveals something special about God's heart for his people, isn't it? He is excited for his future with you. He is so excited for our future. He's got good things for us. Have you ever got something really, really extravagant for your kids? You worked hard for, you worked overtime, you just know they're going to love it, and you're waiting for that birthday to come or Christmas Day to come. I can't wait to give it to you. And the kids are so excited. They know there's that box under the tree. And they know that's my box. And I don't know what it is, but mom's excited. Dad's excited. Something awesome is in that box. And there's this anticipation of receiving something wonderful. That is how God wants us to feel about our eternal future. We have a great future ahead of us. And the book of Revelation does talk about our future. And I find that if we understand the book of Revelation properly, we're going to be filled with five things. And they're on your sheet. They're on your notes. The first is we will be filled with confidence in God's sovereign rule over all of creation, over all of history that's taken place up to this point, and all the history that's going to happen in our future. We know that God is sovereignly ruling over everything that's happening. He's in control, which is awesome. The world is not spinning out of control. And if you understand the book of Revelation properly, you're going to see this is not a book that teaches the world is going crazy. This isn't a book that's teaching the world is out of control and the devil's calling the shots. And it's not like that at all. You see, God's sovereign hand is in charge of everything that happens and when it happens. He's absolutely ruling, and he's steering all of history toward his desired end, which is awesome for those who choose to serve him and follow Jesus as their Lord. Second thing, if you understand the book of Revelation properly, you will have joyful anticipation over the massive breakthrough of God's power that will manifest during the last days of history. You know, Revelation does not teach, the Bible does not teach the end of the world. A lot of people, they talk about the end times and they think the world is ending. No, it's not. The world is not coming to an end. The world is coming into the ultimate transition. Because right now, the world, the spirit of the age, demonic powers are mostly manipulating things in human governments, and the world's under a curse, and the majority of the people that live in the earth are living in sin, enslaved to demonic powers, which doesn't make a great environment to live in. But a transition is coming, and God's kingdom is going to fully manifest in the earth. He's going to, in the earth, and what he's going to do is he's going to get rid of all the demons, all the evil, and he's going to replace it with only righteousness will flourish on the earth. He's going to restore the earth. It's an awesome story. There's a massive breakthrough of God's power that's coming in revival, in signs and wonders, in ministering to his bride, the church, to make us mature and ready, to help us overcome sin and temptation, to help us stand for Jesus in the midst of hardships and trials. There is a great harvest. I believe a billion soul harvest is coming before the end of the age. We're going to see a massive harvest of people getting saved. Number three, if you understand Revelation properly, you'll have soberness over the trials that are coming upon the earth. Great revival, great glory, great shaking. Okay? All of it's true. Number four, if you understand the book of Revelation properly, this is what it should produce in you. Are you ready? You should have an urgency to stay close to God, to renounce sin, all of it, not even a hint. You should have an urgency to preach the gospel and make disciples of Jesus. And you should have an urgency to overcome the spirit of the age that's manifesting in the world even now and is going to grow stronger before the final judgment comes. Number five, if you understand this book properly, it should produce excitement in you about your eternal future. Yeah? When you just get the glimpse of what God has in store for his people in eternity, it should whet your appetite and make you excited. So what is God's plan for our future? I'm going to go into that next. Okay? This is so important. I find that many Christians do not understand what I'm about to share with you. And it's the main storyline of the entire Bible. Do you know the Bible is one big book? It's one big book. It's one unfolding story of God's plans, his dealings with human beings on the earth from all of history up to this point, and also his vision for our future and for the future of the earth that we're going to live on. That's what the Bible is, from beginning to end. It's one long unfolding story that tells God's plan. Listen to this. What is God's plan? I find that God's plan is that his kingdom would be fully manifested in all the earth. Another way to say that, his plan is that his rule would be manifested in every choice that happens in every city, in every nation, all over the earth. It's that his will would be done in every situation at all times so that things would be blessed and prosper and flourish. That's his plan, the kingdom of God manifesting in all the earth. Think about this, okay? The first two chapters of the Bible in Genesis, so what is God's grand plan? The first two chapters of the Bible in Genesis and the last two chapters of the Bible in the book of Revelation are very similar. I encourage you to do this study, this read. Read both of them. The first two chapters of Genesis and the last two chapters of Revelation. And here's what you're going to find. In both of those, the beginning and the end of the book, God and people are living together in blissful harmony on the earth. That's where it started, was in Eden. That's where the thing is going to end, back in Eden with the plan completed. In both the first and the last two chapters, God and people are living in an earthly garden paradise with the tree of life in it. You got that tree of life in Genesis, and you're like, hey, where'd that thing go after the fall? Where did Eden go to? And you see it again at the end of the book of Revelation. It didn't disappear. It didn't burn up. It's still there. God is going to complete his plan. Okay, what he started in Genesis, he finishes in the book of Revelation. Number three, you're going to find that the first two chapters, last two chapters of the Bible, people are ruling the earth in union with God. Number four, you're going to find first two chapters, last two chapters, the supernatural dimension of the heavenly realm is intertwined seamlessly with the natural process that happens in the earthly realm. So you have the supernatural dimension, right? You have angels. You have God openly manifested, dwelling among his people. You could see him with your physical eyes, okay? And yet the natural processes of time, right? Planting, harvest, doesn't just happen just like that. The natural processes continue, those earthly processes, yet enhanced by the supernatural dimension, the two together, okay? Number five, first two chapters of the Bible, last two chapters of the Bible. There is no curse. There is no suffering. There is no sadness. There is no poverty. There is no strife. And there is no death. There's only blessing, joy, prosperity, love, and abundant life. Everywhere you go, you can look all you want. You can't find death. You can go everywhere you want. You can't find sadness. It doesn't matter what neighborhood you go into in any part of the earth. Okay? First two chapters, last two chapters of the Bible. You can't find sadness because there's prosperity and blessing, and there's no friction and discord and between people not getting along. Everybody's loving each other. Everybody's enjoying one another. No one's taking advantage of other people. There's God and people living in union together in an earthly garden paradise, enhanced by the supernatural dimension of heaven. You got angels going around. So you can, they're here right now in this room, but you can see them with your open eye by the time the plan is finished. You guys with me? Read the first two chapters of Genesis and read the last two chapters of Revelation this week. Get a blank piece of paper and write down the similarities you find between the two. What can you find in Genesis 1 and 2 that you can also find in Revelation, the last two chapters? Do that study. Because what the biblical storyline begins in Eden and it ends in Eden. Genesis, it begins in Eden. He started his plan. He had a dream for human beings and for the earth. He had a dream in his heart that caused him, and he was so excited about his dream. He was fully content. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were absolutely content together. They didn't need anything to complete them. They are complete. They're eternal. They're totally fine. And they had this dream in their heart. They said, you know what? Let's create a planet called Earth, and let's make vegetation and fruit and animals and trees. And then the crowning pinnacle of all creation, let's make human beings in our own image so that they can relate to us in a special way. And we'll make them the governors of the earth. And through their union with us, we'll let them share in the union. The three of us enjoy each other deeply, unhindered. We're going to bring them into that union and let them share that communion with us. And out of this place, they'll have our heart, and they'll have wisdom, and they'll be able to enact wise ideas, and they'll have authority over the earth, and the whole earth will rejoice in my leadership through them. That's God's plan. And how? Let's do this. God's like, and then you know what we're going to do? I mean, we inhabit all eternity. You know, God's big. You can't build a building for him. The earth cannot contain him. Bible says the earth is actually, it's his footstool, right? The earth cannot contain him. Yet he says, we're going to live with human beings on the earth. One kingdom with two dimensions, the heavenly dimension, supernatural, and the earthly natural dimension. It's all one kingdom. All together. That's God's plan. And I can't go into the whole story. Just read the Bible. But, you know, Adam, the Bible begins in Eden. The Bible, the storyline ends in Eden. And everything in between Genesis 1 and 2 and the last two chapters of Revelation describes the process God went through to restore what was lost in Eden. Is this making any sense? So when you think about your future, about your eternity with God, picture yourself in a physical body, like better than you have now, but like you have now. You'll recognize each other when you get there. You won't be like, hey, who are you? Like, you have this aura about you, man. Like, I kind of feel like, have I seen you before? No, you'll recognize each other. You know, Autumn will get there, I'll get there. And I'll be like, Autumn! And we will, the love will be at a whole new level, right? It'll be a deeper level than ever before. But we'll be in physical bodies, you know? It's not going to be like ghosts. You're not going to be like an image that floats around. That's like, I'm spirit, but I'm nothing tangible. No, we are physical beings. God put us in a physical body to live on a physical planet, to interact with physical things like fruit and water and earth and grass. Oxygen that you can breathe in, right? So you see each other in heaven, you're going to have physical bodies. When I envision my future in heaven, I see myself in a physical body, and I'm running, and I'm swimming, and I'm dancing, and I'm feasting, and I'm jumping, and I'm worshiping, and I'm singing, and I'm hugging, and I'm just loving life. I'm hiking. I'm doing all the physical things I can do now, only without the effects of the curse that are working on my body. No sore back. No just waking up and I'm exhausted today because I got no sleep last night and you're just fighting to get through your day in this body that's worn down and you get older and the metabolism slows down. It's like, that is so unfair. I eat less than I always ate, but I gain weight faster. That is completely unfair. You know what I mean? Resurrected body, the curse is going to be gone. You're going to be able to eat and not worry about it. You know what I mean? It's going to be awesome. So when I picture my future with God, the biblical picture of your future is a physical future. It is a spiritual future. You're going to see God with your eyes. You're going to worship in an atmosphere where there's going to be tens of thousands of angels all around you with instruments and saints from ages past, all with you, all of us in a physical body going, are we here? This is amazing. Did you just see what I just saw? Can you believe how wonderful this is? And we'll be singing and we'll be encountering God. We'll be feeling the Holy Spirit more than we've ever felt Him in our life. The bliss of our union with God will be rich. It'd be unhindered by stress and sadness and physical weariness. Things that just happen to us in this age. You guys with me? It's a physical future. It's a spiritual future. It's a relational future. You're going to enjoy deep friendships. You know, how many of you love just hanging out with buddies? Yeah? You just love, like, let's get together and let's play games. Let's go to the park and let's play disc golf, or let's play ultimate, or let's get a game of football going, or play some softball. You can tell the stuff I like to do, right? Let's go on a hike. Let's go swimming at the beach. It's like, these are the things you're going to do, enjoying companionship, but without all of the weird stuff that comes from immaturity and just living in this life, right? That we all have. In a family-like atmosphere, everybody's going to be a real brother and a real sister. Not just, you're my brother in Christ, but it's not the same as like my brother at home. No, it's going to be deeper. It's going to be deeper. And it's like that in a lot of times in this age too. You know, when you walk in fellowship the way the Lord desires. You guys with me? Yeah, this is God's plan. He wants to dwell on the earth with human beings. The heavenly dimension, the earthly dimension together, animals, rivers, huge body, crystal clear bodies of water, physical bodies, eating, feasting, playing, rejoicing, working, but with no curse. I like work. I seriously love work. I love my job. Work, many times, it energizes me, to be honest with you. Because what I work on is significant to God. It matters. I love doing what I do. But sometimes there's resistance. You know, now I work and I preach the gospel and a lot of people say no. Or I teach them, this is how you live for God. This is what the Bible says. And they don't do it. I'm like, bummer, man. Like, that's going to be a bummer for you. Don't do that. You know, obey God. Come on. You have to work. And then they do good. And then they fall back. And they do good. And they fall back. And then I don't do it perfect sometimes. And there's all that. But there's going to be work without the curse. No weeds. Right? There's just going to be pushing on an open door. Everything you do is going to take off. It's going to be fruitful. God's going to be in it. It's going to be blessed. Okay. So that's God's. It's a quick snapshot. There's a ton of information in the Bible about this. A little bit in the book of Revelation at the end, but a ton of it throughout the whole rest of the Bible, including the Old Testament, about our eternal future and God's big plan. I would encourage you, one of the best things you could do is understand the big picture storyline of what Scripture teaches about the kingdom of God. If you can just understand where this thing ends up, it will help you overcome a lot of the hardships in between if you understand where this thing is going. All right, next section. The hope-filled focus of end times prophecy. This is so important too. Again, this is an introduction to the series. These are some concepts I'm going to repeat over and over. You're going to hear these themes throughout the rest of the series because it's all through the Bible and especially the book of Revelation, and you need to know them. So the hope-filled focus. Everybody say hope. Hope. Everybody say it again, hope. Hope. Okay, do you know that the return of Jesus is called the blessed hope? Titus chapter 2, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's Jesus, right? First coming. It teaches us to say no. Everybody say no. No to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for what? The blessed hope. What is that? You tell me. What does it say? That's right. The blessed hope, which is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. By the way, there's a great verse. Jesus is God. Okay? Just saying. Great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to give you this. When studying, you know, I heard somebody say this. There's over 150 chapters in the Bible that specifically talk about the end times. Okay? When you're studying if you were to take all that information and weed through it, you know, just start reading through it, you could put it into three separate categories, okay? All of the end times prophecies either deal with, number one, the events preceding Christ's return, okay? So you could read through it, and there's stuff that talks about the wars that are going to happen, the great falling away that's going to take place before Jesus returns, the rise of the Antichrist and the short, brief rule of the Antichrist, the great tribulation, the mark of the beast. You know, you've heard of all these things, right? These are in the book of Revelation as well. You know, these, though, are all the events that precede Christ's return, okay? The second category of end times prophecy scriptures is deal with Jesus' actual return, the whole event of Jesus' actual return, which, by the way, doesn't happen in like 1 hour. It happens over, I have to look up the number, but it's like a 30 to 45 day period from Jesus breaks out of heaven and tours across the earth, catching his bride up to meet him in the air, and then marching into Jerusalem, destroying the Antichrist armies, being welcomed in by the Jewish leaders, and being crowned King of Kings, Lord of Lords over all the earth. Okay, that doesn't happen in an hour, right? There's that, again, there's the supernatural dimension of heaven, him and the angels, the armies of heaven coming back, and the saints, right? And the natural process, that 30, I got to look up the number, it was like 30 to 45 day period, because, you know, it takes a little bit of time to travel the world. And he's going to collect his bride from every nation, tribe, and tongue. And it's not just going to be this, you know, this thing like, what? What happened? What, Jesus came back? Really? I was like sleeping. I was taking a nap. And it's like, what? What happened? Where is everybody? That's not what's going to happen. The Bible says, you're going to see it. We're going to read it in a little bit, Revelation chapter 1. It says, every eye will see him. Not just believers, unbelievers. And the unbelievers, the believers are rejoicing because we're caught up in the air. We receive our new bodies on the way up, right? And we march, we are with him in his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And it's awesome. But the unbelievers see him. Their response is completely different. They are mourning in terror because they've taken a bold stand against him in agreement with the Antichrist. They've declared war against Jesus. And he says, okay, we're done here. And he steps in, and with the armies of heaven in blazing fire, and they're going, we're dead. We're absolutely dead. And they are. You know, that's really, really true. So Jesus' actual return is the second segment of end times prophecy scriptures. And the third segment, when you read scriptures about that prophesy about the last days, is the event. They'll talk about the events following Jesus' return. Okay? So this is like the final judgment, the millennium, Jesus' 1,000-year reign on the earth, on and on and on. You know, there's other things like that. Now, here's the deal. So you've got three categories, right? When you read all the scriptures, it talks about these are all the things that are going to happen before Jesus returns. This is the stuff that's going to happen when he returns. And there's the stuff that's going to happen after he returns. Do you know the biblical focal point, which one of those three is the main focal point of all the scriptures? It's Jesus' actual return. It's so important. You have to get this, guys. The biblical focal point of end times prophecy, all of it, is the actual return of Jesus and establishing of his kingdom on the earth. The main point of the Bible, if you just read the Bible, the main plot of the Bible is not the rise of the Antichrist and corrupt world governments. That's a subplot. It's in there. But it's a subplot. The main point is Jesus is reclaiming the earth. And he's going to reward his loyal saints, his loyal servants. And he's going to punish all rebellion in the earth. And he's going to reclaim the earth from the dominion of darkness. And he's going to establish the kingdom of light all over the place. And we'll be ruling it with him. The main storyline emphasis of Scripture is always on the victory of Jesus at his return with his people. Here's the truth. And this, I'm emphasizing this because this happens a lot. I mean, I run into this a lot when people talk to me about the end times. If our focus is on the events that precede Jesus' return, if the main thing that you're interested in is conspiracy theories, and you spend all your time on YouTube reading about conspiracy theories, and there's tons of them out there. Guess what? The devil's going to hatch tons more before Jesus returns. You know why? Because he wants to distract your attention from what the Bible says you should be focusing on. He wants you preoccupied with him. He always tries to steal the show. That's what got him kicked out of heaven. The attention goes to Jesus and his victory and his glory and his beauty and his reign and what he's doing. And people who are always focused on the Antichrist, the corrupt government everywhere. Did you hear the latest conspiracy theory? When people come to me with conspiracy theories, I'm like, I don't want to hear it. I don't care. I truly don't care. Yeah, but did you know you might be spied on? I'm like, I don't care. Probably so. I'm not even denying that. I don't think they are real, a good part of them. I think the devil will make up stories all day long for those who will give him an audience. And he'll take a little bit of truth and then 20% truth and throw in 80% scary stuff. And he'll distract believers all day long if they'll let him. But I'm like, I don't care what the devil's doing. Everything I need to know about the devil and what he's doing is in the scriptures. If it's outside of that, I don't need to know it. What I need to know and what I need to be focused on is what is Jesus doing? What is Jesus doing? You know why? Because God's plan isn't on pause right now and just let the devil do his thing. And then, okay, I'll finally act and do something when he returns. No, he's working now. There's things happening that God's doing now. And even the things that the devil does, he's on a leash. He's under the thumb of God. He can only do what God lets him do. And even then, God only lets him do it for his own purpose. And I find that people, when they're focused on the events preceding Christ's return, it's not that we don't study these things in the scriptures. It's not that we don't study them. It's just that even with, let's say I want to study, because there's lots of scriptures that talk about the Antichrist and his rise, and it's good to study that. So when I have the big storyline in view, right? What God's going to do. And then I zoom in to one little part of the storyline and study what the Bible says about the Antichrist. But what happens is I need to zoom back. Whatever I learned about the Antichrist, I need to zoom back out and put it in the proper perspective. Because if you stay zoomed in, you're focused on the Antichrist and the corrupt governments, you become filled with fear. You become self-absorbed. You become paranoid. And nobody wants to listen to you. Right? And you're like, the devil's so big. The devil's so big. You're like, whoa. Zoom back out, man. Zoom back out. There you go. Wow, God's so big. Wow, that devil's not that big. He's really small. He's just one little subplot in this big, big story that God's writing, and it's a great story. And God is in control. Amen? Listen, I want to get this. I wrote this down. I felt inspired by the Lord when I wrote it. The message of the book of Revelation is not about the domination of evil and the end of the world. It is about the total conquest of the kingdom of God over evil and the total restoration of the earth and humanity from the effects of sin. It is about the total conquest of Jesus and his people over darkness. That's what we're reading about in the book of Revelation. This is our victory story. This is the prophecy. Jesus is calling his shots before he does it. You know that story about Babe Ruth back in the day? It's a legend, you know? And he hit 714 home runs in his career, and he is so awesome. And like in this one World Series, he just went like this. And he pointed out to center field. He was calling his shot. He's like, this one's going out over the center field fence. Pitch comes, boom, hits a home run over center field. That's just cool to me. I'm like, that's pretty awesome. I like that. You know, the book of Revelation, God is saying, here's what's going to happen. I'm calling my shots now. I'm taking down the Antichrist empire. I'm taking down the whole kingdom of darkness. I'm restoring the whole earth. And here's how I'm going to do it thousands of years before I actually do it. Do you know that in a race, let me illustrate this, right? In a race, the runner is not focused on the hurdles. He's focused on the finish line and the reward he's going to receive after he finishes. He's aware of the hurdles because he's going to have to jump them and clear them. He knows they're an obstacle in his path. He's aware of them, but they're not his focal point. The focal point is the finish line and the reward at the end, okay? So he runs like, oh, there's a hurdle here. Yep, you challenge it. So, you know, you're like running. People are like, ah, don't you know there's going to be great persecution? Yep, we're going to have to jump. We're going to have to overcome that one. But my reward is going to be worth it. So, oh, don't you know there's going to be sin everywhere? Sin's going to come to maturity. There's going to be temptation all over the place. Yep, but there's grace for that. I'm going to have to overcome that one, overcome that hurdle. But God's going to give me grace to do it, and there's going to be a great reward for doing it. Oh, there's going to be so much pressure. There's going to be like wars and rumors of wars. Yep, that's going to be a hurdle. But you know what? God's going to give grace for it. And there's going to be a great reward at the end. Do you know that one of the main themes of the whole book of Revelation, it talks about the saints. Every single person, Jesus says, we'll read it at the end of the book, but every single person who lives in heaven, he calls, they're overcomers. There's not going to be one person in heaven who's not an overcomer. So, you know, whatever obstacle you're facing in life, yeah, losing is not an option. Just sitting, well, I guess I'm just going to have this sin for the rest of my life. No, that's not an option. You want to be in heaven, overcomers get to heaven. You're going to have to fight and war and win because there's grace to do it. You guys with me? Well, it's like, oh, I'm just afraid of witnessing. I'm afraid to share my faith, so I'm just going to resign in my heart. I'm just not going to do it for my whole life, and I'll just let this thing defeat me. That's not an option. That's not an option. We have to overcome that. There's grace for that. You guys with me? We're overcomers. So yes, there are hurdles, but we're focused on the finish line in our reward, which is the eternal kingdom of God. All right, last section I want to talk about in this message are key events in God's end times timetable. Okay? So I'm just going to summarize for you. I have like a worksheet there. Do you guys have that? It looks like this. Okay? You can take that home and study it and read it later. I find this really, really helpful for me. Because the Bible gives a timeline. It gives things and prophetic seasons that are going to happen at the end of the age, and one won't happen before the other. There's an order. You guys with me? First you plant, then you harvest, right? You don't harvest and then plant. And so here's the what the Bible teaches, putting the scriptures together that talk about the end times. This is what's going to happen at the end of the age, okay? So first of all, there's going to be a season called, Jesus described it in Matthew 24 as the beginning of birth pains, right? So I call it the birth pain season. And he describes what kind of events and what the culture of the earth will be like during the birth pain season. You can read it in Matthew 24. He describes it in detail. But I'm not teaching on that today. But just so you know, this is my opinion. You're in it right now. I think we are right now, we are in the birth pain season, which is a big deal. The next season that comes is the tribulation, okay? I call it the tribulation, okay? Have you ever heard of this before, the tribulation? Okay, the tribulation lasts, once it begins. By the way, if you want to know, I talk about this stuff in detail. I did a whole series called Understanding the Times where I taught like 17 messages on this stuff. I have it. I can bring some next week that you can purchase if you want to get those notes and study them. But the tribulation time period is 7 years long. It says that tons of places in Scripture over and over again in different ways. 7 years. So once the tribulation kicks off, you're like, within 7 years, I'm going to be looking at Jesus face to face. And we can't say that now. We can't say now, like, he could come back anytime. He's not going to come back anytime. Okay? I talk about my other thing. That's a popular teaching, but it's not in the Bible anywhere, literally. I used to believe that because I was taught that he could return any moment. But then I'd keep reading the Bible. I'm like, I don't know. This doesn't say that, actually. And then I actually looked. I would get the commentaries of all the guys who said he could return any moment. And I'm like, okay, I want to study that because I've always believed that. I even taught that before because that was the Bible college I went to. That's what they taught me in theology. But I'm like, when I actually read the scriptures, I don't see it. And so I'd read their commentaries. I'm like, I want to see what scriptures are they using so I can find in the Bible. And even the scriptures they used to say what they said actually said the opposite. So I was like, well, okay. So tribulation is 7 years, okay? Then halfway through the Great Tribulation, 3.5 years into it, begins what I call the Great Tribulation, okay? And how long is the Great Tribulation? There you go. 3.5 years. Now, here's the thing. The Great Tribulation, most of the book of Revelation, the storyline in the book of Revelation, is talking about the events that happen in the Great Tribulation, that 3.5 year period. Beginning in chapter 6 all the way through chapter 19, okay, is all about the Great Tribulation period, okay? And then you have, at the end of the Great Tribulation, you have the focal point of all Bible prophecy, which is what? Okay, Jesus returned. Good job. You guys are listening. I'm running out of pen. Whatever. Right here. It's a short, you know, like I said, I have to look it up again, but it was like 30 to 45 day period at the end of the tribulation, Great Tribulation, end of tribulation. Jesus comes, returns, the Armageddon campaign, battle happens in Jerusalem, etc., march into Jerusalem. And then he conquers his enemies, right? The devil's bound up and he's thrown into hell, right? Or he's locked away into the abyss for 1,000 years, and Jesus and the saints will be with him. There's a 1,000-year period called the millennium, which millennium just means 1,000 years, okay? That's what it means. So how long is that period, do you think? Okay? So what comes next? What comes next is very, very short period of time, final rebellion, devil's let out of his cage for just a super short season, stirs up one final rebellion in the earth. It ends just like that. Fire falls from heaven and burns them all up. It's all over. And then the final judgment takes place right afterward, great white throne judgment. And that, you know, I don't know how long that is. The Bible doesn't really say. It's just a super, super, it's a blip on the screen. Very short period of time, okay? And then heaven, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city, descends from the heavenly realm into the earthly realm, and the two become one. And then it rejoices, and the Bible says, now rejoice, the dwelling of God is with men, and there'll be no more weeping, no more crying. And it's like God's plan that he began in Eden gets completed at that point, okay? And that, how long do you think the eternal age lasts? Ha ha, forever. That's why you're like, forever I'll sing how I love you. That's true. So you guys see that? That's the timeline. So right now, my opinion, I think we're in the birth pain season. Tribulation's going to kick off. There's 7 years until he returns at that point, okay? But then 3.5 years into that, 3.5 years into that, Great Tribulation begins, okay? And I talk about, the Bible talks details about, like, how do you know when one season starts and when another, you know, you can read that in the Bible. I don't have time to teach it now. So you have to get my other series and you can read that. But then the Great Tribulation, at the end of the Great Tribulation, he returns back 30 to 45 days and we're caught up in the air to meet him. And then the 1,000 years reign begins where it's a 1,000 year process of restoring the earth. Okay? And then there's one final rebellion when the devil's let out of his cage, super short. And then he's conquered. The final judgment sets everything right. And then everything's reset, and the eternal age of bliss begins with God and his people living on the earth together forever. Amen? Okay. So I hope that's helpful. I want to just pray really quickly. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would give us understanding of this book of Revelation and cause us to overflow with excitement and confidence about our future with you. In Jesus' name, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so what we're going to do now, so that's the end of that message. So you can end the recording if you want to.